So welcome to my blog, finally.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
Introduce yourself first, because I'm always bad at introducing people.
Well, my name is Nick Hartley. I live in a little village in North Wales. You can hear the rain if you listen hard enough. I'm 61 years old. And I've been baking since 1994. I know that because that's when I gave up smoking.
Oh, so you gave up smoking and started baking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing.
What's the connection? I don't know.
And how did you get interested in baking?
Well, I've always cooked. I cooked all my life since I was a little Boy Scout.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow... bread making always seemed a sort of either a sort of a women's institute type thing or the old hippie type thing where they used to make sort of wholemeal bricks back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
I never really got into it, and curiously enough, I think it was just one day in the back of a general cookery book, it was a recipe for... probably focaccia, actually.
Uh-huh.
A very simple bread recipe.
Yeah.
And just shove a few black olives in, you've got focaccia. And having baked one and suddenly realised that it was enormously better. I like everyone does, enormously better than what you can buy anywhere. I sort of progressed from there.
And what's your addiction? Why? What makes bread your thing?
I don't know. I slowly got curious about sourdough. I'm not really sure how that happened, but somewhere along the line of sort of getting bread books out of libraries, someone somewhere mentioned sourdough, and all the recipes I found had yeast in, and I was sort of, there's something in the back of my mind told me that that wasn't exactly how it was supposed to be, but I got sort of more and more fascinated by the idea of being able to make bread using natural yeast.
And you sort of become a purist?
No, I'm not a purist. I don't use yeast at all these days, but I don't tell other people how to make their bread.
And is there a reason that you don't like using yeast?
I don't see the point of it. You know, I mean, I spent all this time trying to find how to make sourdough, and I went all through what's his name, Village Baker,
Joe Ortiz.
Joe Ortiz.
Yeah,
I had all sorts of trouble getting his formulas to work.
Yeah, the same with me. It's kind of a strange thing.
Yeah. After going through all of that and giving it up virtually, and then reading the Bread Builders, which is Alan Scotton, as you know, and who's the other guy?
I don't know. I have a copy of it somewhere.
You're as bad as me.
Yeah, I don't write things down anymore.
But anyway, it was reading in that that you keep your starter at 100% hydration. Once I tried that, everything just sort of slotted into place, which was great.
Yeah.
And I sort of feel, well, why use yeast? You know, I mean, if you can do it without, why use it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a relatively late starter, using a bad pun in the bread business. I mean, Levanzo has been, or starter, or sourdough,
sure,
has been around since the beginning of baking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't see, you know, people can use what they like.
Yeah.
I just personally don't want to. And, you know, now I'm baking for sale, I don't even push that anymore, you know. In my literature it says that what I'm making is sourdough, a naturally leavened bread. But I don't push that at all on people, because it would cause a confusion if I did use yeast as well, I think. But people just accept what I'm doing, and either buy it or they don't.
Exactly.
But,
Well,
and
before we go too much further, explain to us a little bit what you did prior to becoming a bread baker. What was your line of work?
Well, I worked in the criminal justice system. I did 10 years on building sites, and then decided that I really had to do something, and trained as a probation officer. And pretty soon discovered that I actually wanted to change the way things worked as opposed to work within the system. So I fairly soon I got into being self-employed, calling myself a consultant and hoping for the best. And I spent 20, 25 years actually looking at the way the justice system worked and working with people who work within that system. And then finally, because I was approaching the noble age of 60, I wanted to do something different, and my baking had developed. I tried to put two things together and put a proposal to the local probation service to set up an employment project for people who had been in trouble with the law, or who had long-term employment problems. And to set up a project where they could actually learn to do something quite skillful. And that's that. Well, we set it up. We did some training and found the premises and all the rest of it. But it didn't work out because the organisations involved, this is my perspective, obviously, thought they would go for the glory rather than the quality. So as soon as it was set up, they got rid of me. And bakery is a very sort of visual thing, so it was great for their promotion, so they could show what a good job they were doing, and they had various local and national officials to come down and look at it and be photographed with the guys, because it's, like I say, it's a very visual thing. But I had to walk away from that and do something else.
And how hard was it for you to teach people to bake, and what were the rewards or the downfalls of teaching people how to make bread?
Well, I'm sure we will come on at some stage to the wonderful Bethesda Rugby Club where a lot of this took place, and where a later event took place, as you know. Bethesda Rugby Club is a sort of a very ramshackle place with sort of good basic facilities, but as you know, it's just a little on the tatty side. And in the winter, it's pretty cold. And the guys that I was teaching were great. I mean, they were all over the place in a lot of ways. It was quite hard to get them to turn up on a regular basis, but when they came, they sort of worked really well. And actually teaching them, I mean, okay, I got the yeast out, I confess. But they really took to it. One thing, a lot of these guys have been in prison on several occasions. They're very good at taking orders, you know what I mean? It was the cleanest kitchen you ever saw. I didn't have to stand over them at all. There was nothing to really cleaned up, because that's the way they get through things. But they really took to it, to the extent that one of them won a prize at the Ludlow Food Festival within about 6 weeks of opening a bag of flour, which is pretty gratifying, really. And I don't know, it was very rewarding for me, because although these people can be very sort of haphazard, they got so much out of it. It was really pretty good for me, and I enjoyed the experience of teaching.
And what do you think the reason is behind a real boom in bread baking, home baking, artisan baking in England right now? Who's responsible for the revival?
Don't say England.
Oh,
It's
okay.
the UK.
The UK, excuse me.
And at this point, we're in Wales.
Right.
Well, Dan Leppard is obviously a major figure in all that. I mean, for for years before he set up his own website and forum. Originally there was Andrew Whitley, who published a book recently called Bread Matters, who set up the Village Bakery up in the northwest of England. He had a forum that I was actually the moderator of for some time before. But I was a bad moderator, you know. I used to, instead of moderating, I used to get into arguments with people, you know, didn't I? And eventually I think he was quite pleased to close the whole thing down. And after that there was a guy called Malcolm, second name, I forget, who set up a forum. He had no side to him. He wasn't. He was just an amateur baker, and that was a great thing because no one really had to mind their manners, or you know. Along came Dan, and I mean, to be fair to him, he incorporated Malcolm's site into his. Dan's just been a great influence because he's so approachable. People got to know him because he produced really good and useful books. That forum has been going now for 5 years, and a lot of people who were there at the start are still there, and it's he doesn't push his own line. He lets people get on with it, but he offers good advice.
Yeah, well, I had first heard of you through, I think, Malcolm's, because I'd been fishing around for bread.
Malcolm Osman, that was
yeah,
the name.
Yeah, I was fishing around for all sorts of forums, and I just happened on Dan's, and then I, you know, heard about you on Malcolm's, and then I finally fished you out and said, oh, I got to find out who this guy is.
Yeah, well, you did.
Yeah, I did. Well, yeah. What's the quintessential English loaf? I mean, we're known in America for our white bread, our loaf bread. What's integral English bread to you?
You know, I can't answer that. I don't know. I mean, in my own experience, there isn't a UK baking tradition. What I'm trying to say when I say that is that my upbringing was all white sliced bread, and the number of small bakeries that there were around. I mean, I came from a big city, Birmingham, and in those days, it was mainly plant bread already in those days, and a lot of small bakeries had disappeared, and they've continued to do so. And my own baking, I can't really say that it's been influenced by UK baking, because a lot of the information I've got has come via the States. Because there have been far more books published in the States. From my perspective, there seems to be more of an artisan baking movement in the States. There might be a false perspective, but that's how I see it. And the other big influence for me has been France. You know, I've always been on holiday in France and just been staggered, you know, from quite a young age by the variety and what the bakers over there produced. Although these days I know that a lot of that is not terribly good quality. But then that was the inspiration. So I can't really say there was any UK inspiration really in terms of what I bake.
You travel to France on vacation quite often, and in your
mm-hmm.
luggage you carry some levain. So what's the reason for that? I mean, you're going to France, the heart of bread country, and there you are baking bread.
Well, I imagine that your audience is mainly the US. And I think that Americans have a view of Europe, you know, old Europe, and particularly France, in terms of quality food and bread, that might have gone a long time ago. I mean, where I go a lot in southwest France, there are no good bakers. Or, to correct myself, there's one good baker, but staying in a small town, you would expect to have 20 or 30 small bakers a long time ago. There's virtually nothing in the bread that he's produced is often formulaic. I mean, sometimes literally because they use particular mixes that flour companies produce. But a lot of it is, well, let's be crude, it's rubbish, you know.
Yeah.
It is very poor. It's made of very poor dough. A lot of it's frozen dough. A lot of those skills have gone. And probably real French quality baking exists in some people who have survived all that, that have a very long tradition, and people in places like Paris where there's been the revival.
You know a particular baker in France. His name is Mark. Refresh me with the name.
Yeah, I will in a minute.
Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of Marc Briand.
Leon, yeah.
Marc Briand.
And how did you meet him?
Well, we go on holiday to a place called Arcachon, which is in southwest France, just southwest of Bordeaux.
Right.
And there's a big basin, which is just about connected to the sea, and it's probably a triangle 15 miles square, and there are villages all around there. And in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little place called Biganas, and this guy has a bakery there, which is not the sort of popular image of a French bakery, in as much as it's a brick building with a huge factory type chimney in the middle of it, stack, you know, brick stack.
Yeah.
And he only sells at markets. Well, he sells direct from his little bakery, but he would never support himself in a place like that. And he has a market stall in various markets around that part of the world. And last time I heard, he was heading towards the big markets in Bordeaux as well. But he has a Sunday stall in the market in Arcachon, and when I saw his bread, that was something to aspire to. So eventually, I sort of plucked up courage because my French is pretty bad, and wrote to him. Well, in fact, I got a friend's daughter to write to him, who studying French, and say, could I go and look at his bakery? And he was very charming and said, yeah. So I went out there on my own and spoke to him. I suppose that's a way of putting it, because no one who worked there had any English at all. But we got through it, and it's just amazing to see what he can turn out with a wood-burning masonry oven there. Pretty well on his own. He's got some help, but using all organic and naturally leavened bread. It's just amazing. I mean, when you think all that's died out, and this guy, I think he came into it without any background in baking. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And no one over here has ever heard of him, you know. I mean, he's a great baker.
And what was your reason to bring all your baker friends together from the forum to Bethesda? Especially me, all the way across the pond.
Do you want to know the honest answer to that? The
Yeah.
honest answer to that is that about a year before it actually happened, on the Australian sourdough side, there was some talk about having a baking event in Australia.
Yeah, with
And
Graham.
that's what was going, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, there's no way I can afford to get to Australia for this. So I thought, well, you know, I was using the rugby club anyway to train these guys. They've got the facilities there, which, like I say, are basic, but they're okay, they're fine. And I just put the suggestion forward, and it's sort of escalated, and I got more and more scared over a 6 month period, you know, sort of never having done anything like that.
Well, it happened, and it was rather successful,
Well,
and it's cloned into a bigger and It went off to France this last summer,
He
and
went off to France, yeah. I mean, I'd always liked the idea of, I'm not knocking people who run bread courses, but they can be quite expensive.
yeah.
And I just like the idea of taking the forum idea where people share ideas. I just like the idea of taking that a step further and just getting people to offering them the facilities to come and share ideas. I mean, as it happened with the first one last year in Bethesda, Dan Leppard came very kindly and gave freely of his time and provided a full day's teaching for everyone.
Sure.
But that wasn't the point. The point was that people would come together of any sort of ability and experience and share ideas.
Yeah.
And then this year, Brad, Bradley Presence, who has a home in France, is an American who came to Bethesda. I don't know if he foolishly offered at the time, but he said, "Why not come to France next year?" And we thought, "Well, won't it happen?" And it did happen. It was just fantastic. It was
Yeah.
great.
And when is there going to be a wiki page for that event?
I am not sure. I mean, one of the problems with that event was that we had this great German baker called Volker, who was working in a bakery in Zurich, and Brad was doing some nights with him to learn the skills.
Right.
He came and he did a really comprehensive program of some of the breads that they make in that particular bakery, but those formulas belong to the bakery.
Okay.
So at the moment, those formulas have just been shared between the people who went. So I'm not sure there's ever going to be a wiki with all those formulas on. So we'll have to think about how those ideas get shared.
And there's already movement for the next event.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick Coleman, who came and built an instant brick oven at Bethesda, which is now residing in my shed, you'll be pleased to hear. Not working yet, but it'll be up and ready by the end of the month, I think. He lives on a small holding in the south of Wales, which is so isolated he generates his own electricity, water from a well, all the rest of it. He's amazing. He's just put together a 7 foot by 5 foot Alan Scott oven, and next month he's starting baking for money down there. He has offered his facilities down there, so I think we're all camping this time. So I hope you're ready for
I'm ca crossing my fingers.
that. Yeah, me too. I'm too old for camping, but
Yeah.
there you go. But that's great because, I mean, the chances of cooking in a brick oven that size are few and far between. And he's just such a lovely, lovely guy,
Yeah.
and about to meet his partner. And I met some of his kids already because they come up and help install his old bodger oven in my shed. But
Now, are you converting the Bajra oven to a more
well,
permanent oven?
sort of, in as much as the original roof was made of special fondue concrete,
Right.
and it came in three sections because you can just about carry them in individual sections. And one of them broke on the way up from South Wales. So he's going to recast the whole thing, and he's going to cast it thicker, and it's going to be harder to remove it anyway. So it's going to be more permanent from that point of view.
Right.
But I don't know if you can remember my back garden, but it's a bit of an obstacle course, and it's right at the
Yeah, a
back
little
end.
hill there.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
yeah.
And how's the community come around to your kind of baking and your bread? I mean, I remember I didn't even notice a bakery within the miles, except for, gee, I don't know, nowhere.
No, well, depends what you're, how you define community. I mean, here it's rather hard to be describe it. You've got your traditional old Welsh community, a lot of whom are tied into the chapel and sort of slightly stereotypical in as much as we've got the male voice choir that rehearses in the garden at the sorry in the school at the bottom of our garden there. And they are probably a bit wary of outside influences. They're very much Welsh speaking. But you've got all sorts of communities. I mean, my customers now are made up of all sorts of people. You know, people, there's a university just up the road in Bangor, and people live out here, aging hippies, you know, people involved in art, and people running recording studios and things like that. And then there's just a few, what I would call sort of ordinary local Welsh people who buy off me. But by and large, the way I've set up what I'm doing now is like almost like creating a new community of people who live all around here who have an interest in food. And that's been a bit of an eye-opener. So I suppose some people regard me as a bit of an oddball. I'm certainly an outsider, even though I've lived here for 20-odd years.
And you haven't learned Welsh yet.
I haven't learned Welsh yet,
Yeah.
and I won't. I'm not a linguist, and might sound crazy to live somewhere where the language doesn't appeal to you, but it doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But a lot of my customers are Welsh and Welsh speaking, but they tend to be. There aren't clearly defined classes around here like there are in lots of the UK, but you would say they were probably more on the middle class side.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very interesting people.
Where do you think? I mean, you're a bit on the forum. You've read a lot of bread books. Where do you think young aspiring home bakers should learn how to bake bread? What's the first
Where?
step?
Where from? Where from? I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, that's a tough question, huh? I stumped you.
Well, I mean, I think I have no idea what the situation is in the States. Over here, is there a real big interest in bread? I don't know. I really don't know. People keep popping up from out of the woodwork all over. But, I mean, for instance, I wouldn't say at the moment that Dan's Forum, which is probably the main focus for people who are interested in bread, it's not particularly active at the moment.
Yeah, it's a little bit slow. I noticed that even on the site in Australia.
Yeah, I
Although
mean,
they're doing
well.
constant bake-offs down there for some reason. They're just baking like mad, a few of them there.
Yeah, I know. I don't even have to post these days.
Yeah,
They
with the price of wheat and flour, you just go, God, how can they afford it?
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping to start teaching myself, but obviously I would only teach sourdough.
So you've pretty much set a pattern of how you bake, and you pretty have you have the background now. I mean, how hard was it to change from a home baker to now a professional baker?
No, I'm only a professional home baker.
Oh, okay.
Professional home baker part time.
Okay.
How hard was it?
Yeah.
It was hard in as much as pretty soon on. I mean, just say I did a weekend course with Andrew Whitley at the Village Bakery in 2000, and I was already getting the feeling that bread was somehow important to me, and that I needed to incorporate it some way into my life, bread making, but I wasn't sure how to do it. So you could say it's taken me 7 years to start baking for sale from home, which is a long, slow process.
Yeah.
So in that sense, It's taken a long time and it's been a rocky road. But once I actually decided that's what I was going to do, and once I mean, I did it on the suck it and see basis. Just said to people, I'm starting to bake. I'm going to bake on Friday. There will be some bread here from 4 o'clock. And just bake a few varieties of bread, and people come along and say, I'll have that, that, and that. And that was it. But to get from that stage to turning it right round to baking strictly to order, to having everything on computer, all the computerized client list ordering system, all the formulas on computer, so I just print out the quantities I need to produce. To do that was very, very quick. It only took about 2 months to get to that stage. And now, I mean, I've been baking since last December, so it's August now, so what's that, 8 months, 8, 9 months, something like that. Now I've got to the stage where I need to sort of move on again, because I've got my routine. I've got my 9 breads a week that I automatically produce to order, that is, and a weekly special. And I need to start stretching that. So I started doing sort of summer specials, doing focaccia and fougasse and things like that, just to keep myself interested and to keep the whole thing moving along. So, yeah, once I actually decided what I was going to do and where I was going to do it, it came very, very quickly. But it took 7 years to get to that point.
Have you considered maybe opening a small shop or something, or
Nope.
stay? No.
No. No. I 2 days is what I want to do. I started to do a third day, which was supposed to be my time for experimenting, but people wanted to buy the experiments, so I was pretty well baking 3 days, and I've stopped that, and I'm going back to 2 days. That's what I want to do. I want to build up on what I do within those 2 days, but I think the whole economics of it depends on working from home, not paying business rates, not paying staff, all of that. But I mean, if someone wanted to get in, I mean, I'm too old for it, that, Jeremy. This is
Sure.
what it is, If I was younger, if there was someone interested, I would say there's a market out there, even in a small place like this that's got no background of artisan type style bread. There's a market there, so I mean, had the Offender project worked out, and had I been able to produce the breads I wanted to do in my own way, then I think that would be thriving. For instance, I've got a little shop down there.
Sure.
You know,
And
we'll
how are they doing now?
to be honest, I don't know. I mean, I know they're still there. They're still there,
Wow.
Jeremy. I don't
I wonder if they're
know.
kicking themselves thinking, wow, we should have let him stay.
I don't think so. I
No.
think they're very happy to see the back of me. That's fine.
Yeah.
Feeling is mutual. Not the people who work there, the organisations involved, you know.
Yeah. And how do the prices now with current oil and commodity prices affect you, especially you being in a rural area?
I don't think being in a rural area makes any difference in a country this size, really, because I buy from a wholesaler who only delivers up here once a month. But I mean, I pay the same price anyone else in the UK pays. I mean, I probably should check my profits a little more closely. It's fairly, I mean, it's more scary over here the way that fuel costs are going, I think.
Sure.
Wheat prices seem to have stabilized, but a lot of other food produce, seeds and nuts and that sort of thing seem to be rocketing, and people don't notice that so much because they're not particularly staples for most people, you know. But I think, yeah, we probably need to review everything, but I think we're okay.
And what's your inspiration?
My inspiration. You mean apart from soup?
Yeah.
Well,
Well, we know it's soup, but there's something
no.
apart from that that makes you want to bake.
Well, I'm not saying I'm a good baker, but in one sense, I'm a true artisan baker because I buy the ingredients, I carry them up the stairs. I mean, you have to, you know my house, but you know it's only a tiny two up, two down terrace house. The only place I can store flour is upstairs in a small room. So I take the flour up, I bring it down to mix it, I mix it, I bring it back upstairs to prove, I take it back downstairs to shape. You know what I mean? The whole process is done by me, and I really like that. And even if I'm feeling fairly down, once I get into a baking day, that's fine. I know what my routine is. I produce the best bread I can with the equipment I've got, and by and large, I'm relatively happy with that. Even though a true baker could come down and criticise it, it's people around here are getting pretty good bread for the price.
Yeah, and they don't have to go off to Tesco and buy something in a bag.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So I find that very, very satisfying, and sometimes I even get a chance to sit out on the wall with a glass of wine with the sun going down when the baking's finished, and that is pretty good.
Yeah. And what's your favorite bread?
My favourite bread, well, actually, customers, as you probably know, go for, well, in my case, they go for the special. Some of my customers just say, okay, yeah, I'll have a large special. It doesn't matter what it is, I'll have it. Because they want a bread with bits in it. But I personally think that the real bread are the basic ones, the pain de campagne, my own sort of half and half sourdough, half bread flour, half wholemeal, the multi-grains, the multi-seeds. I just love those. And that imitation poulain that you of mine that you stuck on your site quite recently,
Right.
I did that for customers quite recently as a special, and that is very good.
Yeah.
Because there's no side to it, there's no bits in it.
No, it's
It
just pure dough.
just tastes really good, and that's what I like.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Well, you've been to all those bakeries in Paris, so you pretty much have seen what you like
Not
there.
all of them. Not all of them.
Well, a good amount. I
Well,
mean,
yeah.
that's what I loved so much about Paris was, my mother's from France, and as
Yeah.
soon as I got off the train, I heard some mad woman singing at the top of her lungs an Edith Piaf song, and I said, "Wow, I'm in France." And right
Yeah.
away, my motor skills in speaking French, like, boom, turned on. I was like, "Wow, I can't
Yeah.
believe I'm speaking French." But
Yeah.
the best was just seeing every like shop you could. I mean, and I'd run into these guys that I'd read about only and said, "Oh my God, this is so and so," and my mother'd go, "Oh, let's go somewhere else," and I'm like, "But
Yeah,
Mom,
yeah.
this is
Yeah,
French bread."
why do you want to see bread,
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it to go into somewhere like Eric Kaiser's shop on
Oh yeah.
the Rue Mange and look at those big miches he makes.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's when I think, I could improve just a little.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And who is your favorite baker in Paris? Or can you really say that?
I probably can't. I mean, I do think his bread's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The big ones and Max Poulain. I like his rise. Things like that. But the good ones in Paris are good, no question. And I can't get anywhere near that. But that's okay. That's okay. They're real professionals.
Have you tried that, the whole thing with the no knead and the cooking in a pot?
No, I can't be bothered with that.
Yeah. I've actually done it, and it's come out pretty good. I was real like, "Oh no, that's crap." And then I did it. I said, "Wow, it actually does come out pretty good." I was
Well,
surprised.
I don't deny that, but I mean, how could I do that if for customers? You know,
Yeah.
I've got a fairly small convection oven. How many Le Creusets would I need to have? You know,
Plenty.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I think okay, it's it's all right in certain circumstances. If that's what people want to do, and they're making themselves a local. I mean, I know there's that bakery in New York that makes nothing but that, but I mean, that's what they're set up to do, isn't it?
Well, no, I think he just did it sort of as a branding thing to have
Yeah.
people kind of go, oh, wow, I can make bread
Yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a bit of an issue on Dan's site regarding a bread that you had made and someone else kind of pinched the recipe, I think. Should we talk about that or should we just keep it?
I'm quite happy to talk about it.
Yeah, because I was wondering about that and I had a question. I said, oh, maybe I should take that down, but I said, what the hell? Let me ask Mick anyways. Can you trademark a bread or a recipe for a
No,
bread?
you can't. Of course
Yeah.
you can't. But what actually happened was last year I won the sort of home baked bread section at the Ludlow Food Festival with a pumpkin. It was a pumpkin bread with sunflower seeds and a touch of chili. And after that, while I was there, actually, the wonderful thing about that sort of part of the world is there's all these cider makers. And I discovered some Perry that was live. You know, it's got
And and
live.
for us ignorant Americans, what is Perry? Because I
Perry,
remember you guys
Perry.
talking about it when I was in Bethesda, and I said, "What the
Perry,
hell are they?" T
Perry's just pear cider.
Oh, okay.
So there's no brewer's yeast in it. It's just natural fruit
Fermented.
yeast, yeah.
Yeah.
But normally it's pasteurized and filtered, so it's dead when you buy it. If I can't work the correct word for
But
that.
when you were a bit wee lad, you guys used to have the. I remember you and Sue were talking about how that stuff could make you a little mental. The stuff that's not a.
yes.
Okay.
Make you jump backwards, I
Yeah.
think. Yeah. But anyway, so because I'd done this with apple with cider before, so I made this bread which was Perry, so that's apple cider, and what's the other part of it? Pear. Oh, and pear, of course.
Pear, yeah, of course.
So you've got the liquor and the pears themselves, and I made this bread and posted a picture of it on Dan's site, and people say, "Ah, yeah, that's got to be next year's winner for Rodler." And bugging me about a couple of months back, I'm reading the British Baker magazine, and I see that someone's entered a pear and Perry bread in a competition, which if he wins his section, then he stands to win £5,000. If he wins the overall prize, it's £10,000 plus a contract to supply one of the big UK supermarkets. And I thought to myself, that is such a distinctive idea, pear and Perry. And I know the guy uses the site and all the rest of it. I felt a little disgruntled, shall we say, because those forums are all about sharing ideas, but they're certainly not there for professionals to say, "Oh, yeah, that's a really distinctive idea. I'll take that, enter it in a competition." I mean, from my point of view, if someone wants to do that, the least they can do is say, "Hey, Mick, there's this competition. I want to develop a bread along these lines. I want to enter it. Do you have any objections to that?" But no. So yeah, I feel, what would 10,000 in a supermarket contract do for me?
Sure.
Quite a lot. I'd have
Yeah.
to buy a caravan,
So
wouldn't I?
have you spoken to this
No,
person? No.
no,
No.
no.
So it's kind of under the bridge then.
I wouldn't say it was under the bridge. I mean, I've had a few ideas about, just mild revenge, not Molotov cocktails or anything, but
No.
just, I mean, I talked to Dan about it, all the rest of it, and it has to be water under the bridge. There's no point in letting these things get to you, otherwise you'd never move on, would you say?
Yeah.
But I think it's a little ungentlemanly, shall we say.
Sure. But now, I guess you'd be keeping your cards or recipes closer to your chest now than
Well, I
before.
don't know. I
Yeah.
don't know. I think what I'm going to do is actually do that bread as a special for my customers and then post the recipe on the site and on the forum,
Yeah.
and without comment.
Well, have yeah, you know what you should do is put like a trademark stamp on the bread itself or cut out something, you know.
It doesn't work though, does it? Because all you have to do is change a few words.
Yeah, or a few
And a few odd
percentages.
ingredients, whatever,
Yeah. A few years back, you sent me a disc
you
with some recipes in it, and I'm wondering when are you going to finish that book that you promised to finish?
know. Talk to Sue. She
Oh.
says, I should finish it. I
She's your
should finish
editor,
it. Well, no, she's got the big stick,
huh?
She only uses it to point me in the right direction, but I should take a day a week and do
Yeah. My
it.
wife says the same about what I'm doing with this project and
So,
saying, well, make some money and stop pissing off your time, you know?
well, yeah,
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
The end of the day, you have to survive.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm quite happy with her, for maybe for another year,
Yeah.
and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And perhaps by then I'll be too old to.
All right then.
Yeah, that's great. And you will come next year, won't you?
I'm certainly hoping so. Send me your Perry recipe. We can post that.
All right, yeah,
Yeah.
let's do it. Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean the other idea off the record. This is a great idea. This is Sue. She reckoned that I should get everyone that I know who bakes to enter a Pear and Perry bread in the Ludlow competition.
Yeah, and have it like virtually the same, but just a few notches different.
Yeah,
Yeah, that would be pretty funny.
that would be pretty funny, but I don't know enough people who would do that though.
Yeah, well, you could just, just a couple people do it, but multiple times.
Yeah, just say nothing.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
All right then.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks.
Yeah, see
Cheers.
you, I hope. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, bye then.
Bye.